There's still people that want to leave and go to their small groups because it's like a couple minutes to 7:30 right now. You get to use your phones if you want. It's 7:29. Ah, I used up all the time. I'm 1 minute early. Still early. Yes. Thank you. Okay, so let's do the questions. If you want to text, are we going to do that? Do we want to put it up on the screen? I turned the projector off. Whose phone do we want to use? Use mine? Okay. Okay. You can put my number up on the screen. It's if you want to text me a question, or you can just raise your hand, but I know texting is fun. If you want to text in a question, my number is 780. Nice. Chris is on the ball. You want my phone, Chris? Do you want to do the questions from back there? Yeah, I just kind of filter them in. Okay, we got first question. The apostle was one of the 12 disciples. We could talk about the gift of apostle, but that'll take too long. It's basically, a modern-day apostle would be considered more like a church planner. Some people don't believe that there's a modern-day apostles. Both are valid. Any other questions? I hear lots of beeping, so I know they're coming. Okay. You know what? This is a good question. Babies come from God. Seriously. Hey, am I having to yell? Can you turn my mic up a little bit? Okay. Hey, guys. Babies come from God. Do you know that? Every good gift comes from God. That's what the Bible says. I got three. Every single one of them is a gift from God.
So my mom lied?
Yes. Why, did she say you were a gift from the pit of hell? I don't think she said that. What's the next question? You guys are the slowest texters on the planet. Oh, blame it on the writers. Blame it on the writers. Do you know where the verse is? Is it in Matthew? If you want to understand the verse, you got to look at the context of what it's written, where it's written. So, do you have the verse? Who's asking the question? We need a verse. Sell your cloak. Do you guys have a cloak? Anybody have a cloak? Okay, so you guys can meet with me after and we'll talk about it. Those of you who don't have a cloak, you don't have to worry about it. What? How can you sell your cloak if you don't have one?
Buy one and then sell it.
You steal it, then you sell it.
Wait, let's do the next question. If whoever asks that question sends in the verse, then we'll try to get it, do it. The trial? Which trial? OJ? Does the rapture? Oh, the raptor? Here's what Jesus promised. Hey, this is a good question. Everybody listening? Does the rapture come before or after the trials? Well, rapture is actually a word that's not in the Bible. Some people believe from their reading of the Bible that there's going to be something like a rapture, but it'll look nothing like you've seen on TV or on the, what's that series called? Left Behind? It's ridiculous. It's all fiction. So all the Bible is really clear about is that no matter how hard you try to get the code out of the Bible of how when Jesus is going to come back, you'll never do it. Okay? Here's the point. Jesus is coming back. Be ready. Yes, there's some dude actually. You know what? There's a famous dude that predicted the end of the world here this year at some point, that Jesus was coming back. May 21st? Oh, yeah. No, Saturday.
22:36.
Luke? That's a good one. So Jesus is talking similar to the story that we had in John where Peter goes to Jesus. You know what, Jesus? I got your back. I'll die for you. And Jesus says, really? And he told him, before the rooster crows three times, you'll deny me? Well, this is the same story, a little bit more of the conversation. And here's what it says. Actually, backing up. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. This is Peter. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. Then Jesus asked him, when I sent you without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? What Jesus is referring to is, it's called the sending of the 72. Jesus sent out 72 of his disciples and said to go to spread the good news. And he said, don't carry a bag, don't carry a purse, don't carry sandals. Go, and the people who are there will provide for you. And so they stayed with people, and Jesus said, if they don't, shake the dust off your feet and leave, because they're rejecting the gospel. It's kind of almost a harsh kind of way of saying that they're rejecting us, so God is going to reject them. So that's what he's referring to. This time he's saying, now, we're in different times now. Now, if you have a purse, take it. And also a bag. If you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. Jesus is just minutes or maybe hours before his death at this point. The disciples said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That is enough, he replied. Now, there's a number of ways we can talk about this verse. One of them is that I have no idea what it's talking about, okay? It could be talking about a number of different things. I'd have to study it a little further. But what comes to mind is Peter's episode in the garden when he cut off the guy's ear. You remember that?
Yeah.
Well, if that was foretold in Scripture that that would happen, then they would need a sword. So in order for the Scriptures to be fulfilled, that would need to happen. So two swords was definitely enough to cut off one dude's ear. That's the simple explanation. It's probably more complex than that, but that's as much as I can give you right now. So, next question. I think his name was Bartholomew, is that it? It's actually part of that I skipped over, because I was like, oh, that's not important. It's Barsabbas. Also known as Justice. Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Oh, maybe I should keep reading. And they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lot, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added. So Barsabbas didn't make it. He would be the 13th man for all you Riders fans. Oh, next question. Do you think it would be easier to be a Christian now or when Jesus was on earth? I think it depends where you live. If you live in Saudi Arabia, Iraq, some of those Muslim countries with more extreme, or Pakistan, it would be very, very difficult to be a Christian. You might see your family slaughtered before your very eyes. In fact, we've heard in India as well, there was a massacre just a little while ago of Christians by some Hindu extremists. So if you're living in Cold Lake, in some ways, yes, it's easier. But one thing we learn from the Bible is that what happens under persecution is that the church flourishes. And so maybe personally it would be harder, but overall, the church would probably explode if we had persecution here in Canada. So it's easier in some ways and harder in others, right? Persecution helps you keep on track. Because if someone's going to kill you if you say you're a follower of Jesus, then you're probably going to make sure that you really believe this stuff. What if you get baptized as a weak believer? Is there any other kind? Weak as in E-E-K? Then you get stronger in your faith. And then you get stronger in your faith. Then what? Well, we just read about 3,000 people who were the weakest believers possible. They just started to believe and got dunked. So that's actually the model given to us in Scripture. That's actually a good question. Because a lot of people think you need to reach a kind of a level of holiness before you're baptized. That's garbage. That's not true at all. It's completely anti to what the Bible teaches about righteousness. And the only way to have that kind of righteousness is through Christ, through Jesus. So it has nothing to do with how holy you are. It has everything to do with how holy Jesus is. So if you're a new believer, you're a weak believer, whatever. If you decide to follow Jesus and you want to live your life this way, get baptized. What if you get baptized as a weak believer? Well, I think we answered that in today's talk, right? Devoting yourself to the apostles' teaching, reading the Bible, getting involved with people who know Jesus and can encourage you, and if you have some really bad influences that are non-Christian and trying to drag you down, you might have to turn your back on that and say, sorry, guys, I can't hang out with you anymore. It means coming to church on Sunday, learning about God, going like, and yeah, good one, serving, starting to serve others. One of the major teachings of the Bible, in fact, we saw it when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, is serving other people. Becoming a three-dimensional Christian. Yes. It's okay, it won't last. My cousin plays for the Sharks, right? So I'm cheering for the Sharks. Wait, next question. That's not a question. Who's the screeners back there?
Chris.
Yep.
It's funny because Canucks and Sox.
Do you have a question?
Down
it is. It's true, they do run. Okay, here's a good question, guys. If a believer dies before they are baptized, are they still saved? If a what? Don't understand the rules of bad language. That hey, put questions up there. Okay, I'll do the last one there. If a believer dies before they are baptized, are they still saved? Yes. And no. Here's the deal. One of the things that you, when you become a Christian, is that you give the right to decide how you get to live your life and all that kind of jazz. You give up that right to Jesus. That's what you give up. You give up your life. Okay? One of Jesus' things, and we talked about in the talk, one of his mission for the church is, the last part of it, is to obey, teach them to obey everything I have commanded. So one of the things as a Christian that you devote yourself to is obeying Jesus. Jesus said, get baptized. As a Christian, you need to obey Jesus and get baptized. Does that necessarily save you? No, it doesn't. Baptism doesn't, in and of itself, doesn't save you, okay? So just because you got baptized doesn't necessarily mean that you're saved either, right? So it's actually this the following Jesus, that committing yourself to following Jesus. Is that clear? So if basically what I'm saying is you say you're a Christian but you don't obey Jesus, I would have to ask you, are you really a Christian? Right? Does that scare anybody? All right. What's the next question? I don't understand how that's a question, but okay. If you get baptized and then after you turn away from God and start going down the wrong path and want to go back to who you used to be but still want to be who you are now and keep the friends you have, what do you do? That's a really good question. That is an awesome question. It's quite confusing. So basically, you're saying, I want to follow Jesus, but I don't want to obey Jesus. I want to love Jesus, and I want all the benefits of what Jesus can do for me, but I don't want to do anything, and I don't want to give my life to Jesus. You're in a tough spot. That is a hard question, because one of the things that Jesus talks about is it's very difficult in the book of Luke. He talks about it's very difficult to be a Christian, because one of the things is that, you guys know what discipleship is? The cost of being a disciple or a follower of Jesus is very high. You know why it's high? It costs you your life. You give your life away to become a Christian. In return, Jesus gives you something that's unattainable, that you could never work for, that you could never get. He gives you life. He gives you a new life. So, if you want to live in both worlds, the Bible says that you cannot have two masters. Either you will serve one and hate the other, or hate the other and serve the other. I don't know. Something like that. But you can't serve two masters. Eventually, you're going to choose one path and you're going to continue down it. So you may be in a spot where you're kind of walking the line right now, but I can tell you, I can guarantee you that at one point, you will either turn towards Christ or you will turn towards this way. Because we're under the impression that the two lines, there's a fence dividing the two lines and they go like this. They're parallel, but they're not. Okay? They're like this. So eventually, you can only stretch so far, right? So you got to take one path or the other. That's a hard one, but following Jesus is not easy. Is it true that no one will expect the end of the world? That's what the Bible says, so yeah. Come when he's least, like a thief in the night, least expected. So he probably won't come. So then he won't come at night, because we'll expect him at night. No, it's basically just saying, you can do all you want to try to figure out when I'm coming back, but the Bible actually says that Jesus doesn't even know, that only the Father knows when Jesus is coming back. So good luck if you think you're smarter than Jesus. Who's at the right hand of the Father at this minute? What do you do for eternity in heaven? Party! Woohoo! Well, let's see. Eternity. Let's start from where it begins, okay? It actually starts here on earth. Okay? Remember we talked about eternal life? Eternal life starts when you become a Christian and never ends. Okay? Eternal life is about giving your life to Jesus and becoming like Jesus for the rest of your life. More and more like Him. When we get to heaven, the whole deal is, we sang a song today, trading my sorrows, trading my pain, I'm trading my sickness. The Bible says that Jesus is going to wipe every tear from our eyes, that there's going to be no sickness, no sin, there's going to be no bad stuff, that it's going to be perfect. It's going to be what everybody dreams of, except like a million times better. So it's going to start with the party that ends all party. It's going to be a big banquet. In fact, Jesus talks about it a number of times in the Gospels. And they're in a parable form where he says there's going to be this big banquet. All the guests who are invited, referring to the Christians, are going to be there. And there's going to be a big whopping party. And there's going to be the best food and the best drink and the best time. It's going to be the best party ever thrown. And it's going to rock. It's the party to end all parties. After that, there's going to be another party to end all parties. No, it's going to be Here's how I like to explain it, because I don't think we can really understand how awesome it's going to be. Is that if you can dream up the most perfect life for yourself, you times that by a million, that's how good it's going to be. The best thing that you can possibly think of. Boys are probably thinking about sex right now. But the best thing that you can possibly think of, and then way beyond that. Way beyond that. In fact, the best thing that you can think of is going to be like hell in heaven. Yep. That's how crappy it's going to be compared to what God has for us. And it's hard to understand, right? Can you sin in your thoughts or just in your actions? Both. Yes. He's a ninja. Can you sin in your thought? Yes. The answer is you can sin in both. There's sins of in your mind. You can sin. Lust is one of those sins of the mind that can also be an action. There's actually most of them. Most of the sins can both be thought and action. That's why we need Jesus, right? Warfares? I'm not really sure what the question is asking. Does he like Call of Duty? Does Jesus like Call of Duty? It depends if you worship it or not. If that's what you spend all your time doing instead of living your life for Jesus, then yeah, he'd probably hate it because it'd be an idol in your life. That's, did you listen to the answer? No, I didn't. Selective hearing. I said, if it's your idol, of course he hates it. He hates anything that draws you away from him. Well, it probably is, so it doesn't matter, right? No, if it's the, of course, if it's not your idol, if it's not something you devote most of your time to, in fact, gaming, you know, that's one of the big idols of the youth of our culture is games, gaming. You can devote so much of your time to that, that you don't even live your life for Christ or talk to him or read your Bible or nothing, because all you want to do is play games. It really sucks. I don't think it's sinful. I think it's like Mark Driscoll. I don't think it's sinful. I think it's stupid. So, but if it is your idol, then it is sinful. Yeah, second part of that question? Oh, yeah, well, another question back there first. Okay. Okay, so back to the thoughts one. What do you do when you have... warfare. Oh, yeah. What do you do when you have spiritual warfare? Pray. And ask other people to pray. Read your Bible. That's what... You know what? This is... I never said this during the talk. This is also important. One of the things the Bible tells us to do is hide his word in our hearts. One of the reasons why is God's word is like a lamp. And we're walking down a path. It's like a light to our feet. And it shows us where to go. So when we're in dark times and you've memorized some of the Bible, God will bring those to your mind. And yeah, as far as spiritual warfare goes, when you know your Bible, man, does it ever help? Is that Brandon? Maybe. Does that answer the question? We had a question over here. The man in the white shirt. I don't know your name. Is that Corey? Where God came from? Well, that's a good question. Because everything that is... This is a good, really good question. Everything that is created came from something. Right? Okay, hold on, guys. Are you with me? Everything that's created had a beginning. It came from somewhere, right? In physics, we call that part of the law of cause and effect. Where if there's something, there has to be a cause for it, right? With God, it's different because God wasn't created. And for someone who has a created mind, we had a beginning and we will have an end. It's impossible for us to imagine a being that doesn't have a beginning. That God was always there. That's a tough one. I've sat for like literally probably hours of my life wondering, what did God do? Why did he wait so long to create? Because he's been there since eternity. It blows your mind. Doesn't say. We'll find out. That's a question you get to ask when you come before Jesus. Did God make the angels, or were they there from the start? The angels are created beings. God created the angels. So, no, they were not there from the start. They're another part of his creation. The angels, you know what the term angel means? The term angel actually means messenger from God. That's what an angel is. I'm just simply, we call them angels and we give them wings. But the angel in the Bible is simply speaking, talking about a messenger from God. They usually look like men. Or were men. It says they were men. There's a question back there. No. You will be a man or a boy for your whole life and beyond. Oh, here's Corey. What's that? Hey, guys, I can't hear this question. Okay, that's a good question. If Jesus wasn't created, how did we get here? Well, the Bible says that Jesus was there in the beginning of the world, okay? Jesus was also born. Okay, this, hey guys, this is an important question. It's a really good question. See, Jesus didn't have a beginning because he's God. However, God became a man, and so Jesus as the man had a beginning. It's just that he pre-existed his earthly man body. Is that a good... does that make sense? So Jesus... The Bible says that Jesus was there. He was part of the of God creating. See, God is, exists in Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but one God. Okay, there's not three gods. One God. Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three, one God, was there present at creation. All of them had a role in creation. Next question. I just got a Bible. Where should I start reading? How about Book of John? Yeah. Start reading in John. Or read, if you were here the whole time that we've gone through John, maybe start in the Book of Matthew, because there's some really cool teaching in the Book of Matthew. If he drinks in the Bible, why is drinking bad now? I didn't know that drinking was bad now. Who says? Who said drinking's bad now? Okay, selective hearing. Okay, here's what happens. Here's what happened during Jesus' time. Remember the religious dudes that made a whole bunch of rules and weren't in the Bible? We have the same, all of us, not just the people that say you can't drink. All of us have that propensity is the only word that's in my mind, and you guys have no idea what propensity is. What's a better word? Tendency. All of us have the tendency to do that, to create rules, to be religious. All of us have it. So what happens is some people say, for instance, cars kill people, therefore, cars are bad, therefore, I'm not going to own a car, I'm not going to leave my house, I'm not going to drive because I might speed and sin, and I might hit somebody and sin, I might swear at somebody who cut me off and sin. So I don't drive. I'm making a rule. So now everybody has to follow this rule. Similar to drinking, the Bible talks about alcohol actually quite a bit. And most of it's fairly positive. When it is negative, it's talking about drinking to get drunk. Drinking at parties. That kind of drink, or like over drinking. Okay, now I got to define parties. Overindulging. So, yeah. Does that answer the question? So the Bible also says that you need to obey the authorities of your country. So if you're under 18 in this country, then yes, it is a sin for you to drink. Or this province, I should say. Which it's not a sin in... anyway. It would be a sin to drink in 18 when you're in Saskatchewan, but not here. But you need to obey the laws of the land, right? What's that? Why? Why what? It's not a sin to drink when you're 18 because the law says you're allowed to drink when 18. No, I said if you're in Saskatchewan, it is because their drinking age is 19. Or if you're in the States, it's 21. Why is suicide considered a sin? That's a really good question. The reason why it's considered a sin is because you're taking a life. God says that he's the only one that has a right to give life and to take it. So if you take someone else's life, unless it's in self-defense, then you've broken that commandment. If you take your own life, it's the same as breaking the commandment. You're not it's murdering yourself. I don't get how there were dinosaurs with no people and God created the world with people. Created the world with people. How does that work? It's weird. Well, that's a good question, because God created two people, right? This is a pretty big world. So he may have created two dinosaurs, but more than likely there was a few more. So there were dinosaurs walking around in places people weren't, right? I don't know. Is that a good enough answer? I can't hear the question. So, yeah, the dinosaurs were obviously created, right? We have evidence of their existence, so obviously they were created. What's with Amish people? Are they right about what? That's true. Are they right about what? That sounds like Joy's question. Amish people, I don't really know a lot about Amish people, but I think they think technology maybe is sin. I don't know. Is that, who knows about Amish people? Yeah, everything is temptation, yes. Why didn't Jesus have a girlfriend or get married? Because Jesus has a bride. It's called the church. And yes, does that answer the question? It's overrated, yeah. Also, because Jesus had a specific mission here on earth. And he talks about it quite a bit in the Bible. This is what he came for. He came to die. If I knew that I was coming to die and give up my life for the world and live without sin, I probably shouldn't have a wife. And especially when he had a bride. Is it a sin to kill in war? Depends. Well, yeah, it depends what you're fighting for, right? Fighting for your country. There's probably, this is a loaded question, right?
God made a lot of wars.
God didn't make any wars, but he did use evil people to do his will and bringing judgment. Israel throughout the Old Testament fought wars. In fact, if you don't think it's right, if you don't think war is right, God actually fought for Israel and wiped out an entire Canaanite. All the different nations, wipe them out so that Israel could have that land. So, yeah. We have instances in the Bible where, you know, I have a hard time understanding how in the world I could have been one of the soldiers who had to wipe out entire nations. It would have been crazy. But is it wrong to be, well, which one is it? Or happy? No, you can be happy. Oh, so do you mean homosexual? Gay? How about this? It is wrong. It is a sin to commit any immoral act. So adultery, fornication, lust, homosexuality. It's not my choice to get to decide what's sin and what's not. It's God's choice. God said that's sin. Sin. Now, is it a sin to have those temptations? No. It's a sin to indulge in those temptations, whether it's in your mind. So if you're tempted, you see, for guys, you see a pretty girl, you're tempted, she's like, oh, wow, she's hot. And you dwell on that temptation, and you start thinking about that a little too much, and, you know, things happen in your mind. Yeah, that's sin. you see a pretty girl, and you're like, wow, she's hot. And you stop at that. You don't go further than that. You don't undress her in your mind. You don't, whatever else happens. Then it's not a sin. Temptation's not sin. We know that because Jesus was tempted. Are you? Yes. You are a sinner if you believe in God, and you are a sinner if you don't believe in God. We're all stuck in the same boat of sinners. The only difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that the Christian has Jesus. That's it. Because Jesus is our salvation. It's not how good we are. It's not how good we live our lives. It's not how whatever, how holy we are. It's actually about Jesus, his holiness, his good works, the way he lived his life. That's what we claim. And it's awesome because we're all sinners. Yes. No. He's both. Jesus is God and God's Son. Earlier we said that God exists in three persons: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Really hard to understand. Blows my mind, and I've been a Christian for a long time. Any other questions? Can I read it? Okay, here's a question. Were there dinosaurs with Adam and Eve? And were there just Adam and Eve on Earth? Or were there other people? And if not, did God create people in different parts of the world later? Good question. I'm not sure if the dinosaurs were with Adam and Eve. Probably because Adam would have had to name them. So, yeah, they probably weren't quite as big because... If you don't know reptiles, one of the things about reptiles is they grow their whole lives. Nice. Now I forget the question. So yeah, dinosaurs were probably created at the same time. I think I remembered it now. Okay. So if you guys ever wondered how this works, how there could be lots of people on the earth coming from just two people, kind of hurts my brain a little bit. But here's the thing. According to the Bible, there was Adam and Eve, and everyone came from Adam and Eve. That's why when the Bible says we were all born in sin, that's what it talks about, is because we're all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. So yeah, he does. Yep. What's that? Yeah. Yeah. Well, because Adam and Eve had lots of sons and daughters. Tons, right? We're told about the story of Cain and Abel. Cain was the oldest son, but there was actually lots of sons and daughters that came from Adam and Eve. So we don't know what the mark was that Cain had, but you know what? If you had 10 brothers and you killed one of your brothers, those other brothers would probably be upset, right? So that's probably who was, or his father and mother. You know, Adam too, right? So, yeah, that's a good question, actually. What's that? That's not a question. Nothing. He scared you? Okay, who's got the next question? Is it wrong to swear when you hurt yourself? Yes, but it feels good. How's that? I don't know if it's wrong to use a swear word when you hit your thumb. Does it glorify God? Possibly. Depends how hard you hit your thumb. What is the best part and the worst part of being... That's an awesome question. Yeah, for me. Well, I think the obvious best part... Do you guys want to hear this or not? Okay. The best part of being a Christian for me is that I get to follow Jesus. And I found a life that I seriously, even though I grew up in the church, did not know existed. Following Jesus is everything to me. In fact, when I have three kids, like, I pray for them. I desperately want them to follow Jesus. In fact, I will give up everything else, jobs, money, whatever, just so that they can be followers of Jesus. So I will do everything that I can possibly do to disciple them, to be there for them, to love them, to live the gospel for them as a model. And, you know, I want to be gentle but firm with my kids. I want to be daddy for them their whole lives. I don't want to be, he's that jerk that was an idiot to me. It might happen, but I'm going to try really hard to be that. So that's the best part. The worst part? The worst part is the struggle sometimes when you see other people. They seem to be enjoying life. They're living in sin. They're gaining wealth. Their kids seem to be okay. And you're like, man, sometimes that life seems like it would just be a lot easier just to go make a whole bunch of money and just buy stuff. And but it really pales in comparison, because the life that I found, I understand that there's fulfillment in it, and I know that there's no fulfillment in that. So the worst part, maybe if we were being persecuted, it might be a little different. Watching your family die before your eyes because you're a Christian, that'd be tough. God does show himself all the time. In fact, in the book of Romans, it says that we know that there is a God, because when we look around, the evidence that God exists and that he was here is everywhere, creation. So basically the Bible says what we see outside, creation, the trees, the grass, the earth, the mountains, it's like God's footprint. And you see a footprint in the sand, you know someone's been there. Does that answer the question? Yeah. And I just actually, just going off that, I just read a thing from our district, or from the Alliance. We're an Alliance church, from the Alliance upper dudes. And they send a thing. There's people in the church where everything's burned all around them, and their houses are still standing. Like, their house. In the middle of all this burnt stuff, their house is not touched. Like, it's... And there's stuff like that all over the world that happens. You hear about these stories, even in great... In huge disasters and horrible things that are happening, you hear of these stories. And people are just like, wow, that's impossible. How does that happen? So, is that... Yeah, God shows up. And the biggest way God shows up is in me and you. The fact that I can love you guys and treat others the way I try to treat them and serve other people is simply because that's God working through me. And so hopefully you can see God working through me. When is McDonald's? I don't know. Whenever we get there. Well, the easy answer is no, it wasn't a failed attempt. Unless Bigfoot's your mom. I got a mom joke in. Yes. Yes, it does. The Bible talks about how we are supposed to love each other. It's not just your siblings. That the people closest to you, those are the people that they know you the best and that they still love you. You need to treat them like that. Same with your parents. And parents, that's why we love our children. That's why we try to treat them well and do what's best for them. So yeah, you need to love your brothers and sisters. That's part of being a Christian. Even though that's probably the hardest. For some reason, it's easier for us to love people who aren't our family and treat them better than the actual people that we care about the most. It's nuts. But that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to destroy us. Well, Jesus explained himself on this. This is a good question. Why did Jesus show himself to make people believe, but not now? Jesus came once. The people who were there got front row seats to the most amazing man who ever lived. What Jesus said after, he says, I'm leaving, and it's better that I leave because the Holy Spirit will come. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's Clayton. Enter Clayton. Hi, Clayton. Can I just... Hey, guys. What time? I can't see the glare in there. Is it... It's quarter after? Okay, we gotta... Okay, can I finish answering these two questions? Why did Jesus... Okay, here's what Jesus said. And here's what happened in the story that we just read in John. The people who witnessed Jesus' miracles, who witnessed Jesus raising a man from the dead, also were the ones who killed him and didn't believe in him. These people sought first row seats. In fact, the Bible says that he was rejected of men. Like, the very people who were chanting, Hosanna, Hosanna, a week before when Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem, were the very people shouting, crucify him. They saw the miracles, and they killed him. So, how would we be any different? In fact, Jesus says in the Bible that it's a wicked and perverse nation or people that ask for signs and wonders so that they can believe. It also says, remember the story with Thomas? That you're blessed if you believe without seeing. It says, blessed are they who come after and believe. Why is 666 the devil's number? It's not the devil's number. It's actually, all numbers belong to God. So, it is a number referred to in the Bible as being a number referring to Satan. But I'm not sure where. Because it's an incomplete number. Because in the Bible, when it uses the number 7 or 12, it's complete. There's seven days in a week, 12 months in a year. Well, that's not in the Bible. Come on. But when the Bible talks about the number 7, it's talking about something that's complete and perfect. When it says 6, 6 is not complete because it's not 7. It's not perfect. It falls short. Therefore, yeah, his number is... He falls short, he falls short, he falls short. When the Bible repeats things 3 times, it means that it's super important. So the Bible calls God holy, holy, holy. That means he's really, really, really holy. Did Adam have it? Probably not. Yeah, he wasn't born. Neither was Eve. But he might have. Doesn't matter. All right, do you guys want to go to McDonald's? Yeah. Okay, stop asking me questions then. All right, are we done?
Yes.
All right, we'll see you at the park next week, or at McDonald's now and then at the park next week.